breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, former brother Lo, welcome to Lobby Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. We've got a great podcast for you. We're going to be joined in segment number two by one of our good friends, Tanner Kern. He does such amazing work over at DraftKings. We're going to chat with him about what we've seen here in the first 3.5 or so weeks of the season. He's based out there in the city of Boston, so I have to talk about the Red Sox fact that they're off to a little bit of a less than tremendous start to the season, to say the least. We'll take a look at the games that we've got on Sunday and so much more. And then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Sunday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, 2 of 1 or 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X Timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. Then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Well, I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today. We had ourselves a great day of baseball on Saturday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game through yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Man, Max Scherzer looked a little bit better on Saturday, but the Blue Jays did not. 6-2, the Diamondbacks out 13-8. They get the job done. Zach Gallen fills it up. 2 runs allowed and 5 2/3 innings, did allow 9 hits as the Blue Jays could not cash in with men in scoring position. From there, Ryan Thompson a scoreless inning, Kevin Ginkle a scoreless inning, Juan Murillo 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and for Max Scherzer, 2 runs allowed over the course of 6 innings, much better than he had looked in the beginning part of the season. From there, Tyler Rogers a scoreless inning, and then Jeff Hoffman, boy oh boy, that was not great. He gives up 4 runs in his inning of work, including a home run to Corbin Carroll, grand slam variety, his 3rd of the campaign, so another loss for the Blue Jays. They are now 7-13 to begin the season, so things are not great out there. Things have been very up and down, to say the least, for the Red Sox, and we'll talk a little bit more about this with Tanner Kern in the next segment. And the Red Sox, they do fall to the Detroit Tigers. This by a count of 4-1. Tarik Skubal was certainly on it in this one. 10 punch-outs allows 1 run over the course of 6 innings. From there, Tyler Holton, 2 scoreless innings. Kenley Jansen, scoreless inning. And Brian Bayo, 4 runs allowed over the course of 4 innings, including a bomb going deep off of him. Kerry Carpenter, his 4th home run of the campaign. From there, you did have Greg Weiser, Zach Kelly both provide a scoreless inning. Giovanni Morin in long relief, 3 scoreless innings, but not a lot doing for the Red Sox at the plate, so that was an issue. For the Pirates, their issue was Mother Nature, as Paul Skeens was rocking and rolling through 4 innings, and then had a 2-hour rain delay that knocked he and Drew Rasmussen out of the game, and the Pirates, from there, they relinquished their lead. 8-7, the Pirates, they fall to the Tampa Bay Rays. For Rasmussen, he had given up 4 runs in 3 2/3 innings, including a pair of bombs. Marcelo Ozuna, 2nd home run on the campaign. Ryan O'Hearn is 4th, and coming out of the rain delay, the Rays were down by a count of 4-0, and then 4 runs were given up in 2/3 of an inning by Cam Sanders. Rest of the bullpen was able to look a little bit more respectable. Evan Sisk, he comes in for 5 outs, allows a run. Justin Lawrence, 5 outs out of the bullpen, he goes scoreless. Gregory Soto, Isaac Manson, both lend a scoreless inning, and then you don't mess with the Yoan Ramirez. He has to go for 3 innings in long relief, only allows 1 earned run, but he did give up a pair in the 13th inning as Cedric Mullins took him deep. 2nd home run of the campaign, and for the Rays, bullpen actually did an okay job here. Brian Baker does give up a run in an inning, but Hunter Biggie, Ian Seymour, they both combined for 2 2/3 innings scoreless. Mason Englert, pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Cole Sulzer, 1 1/3 innings scoreless. Kevin Kelly, unearned run given up in extra innings, and 1 2/3 innings. Griffin Jacks, a scoreless inning, and then Yandries Gomez in the 13th inning. He allows an unearned run, but enough to be able to get the job done there. Also being able to get the job done, the Milwaukee Brewers, they get to Sandy Alcantara. They win by a count of 5-2, as for the Marlins, they do get a nice 1-0 lead early on, but for Alcantara, only he's able to last 5 innings in this game. He walks 6, he gives up 3 runs, all of which were earned, including a home run going deep off of him. Bryce Durang, 4th home run in the campaign. Brandon Woodruff, he allows just 1 run over the course of 7 innings. The Woodford, Jake Woodford, does give up a run in 1 1/3 innings. Ebner Uribe, pair of outs out of the bullpen to be able to get the save, and for the Marlins, he had Anthony Bender give up 2 runs in 2/3 innings. Lake Bacar, 2 1/3 innings scoreless. John King, he was the king of giving you a scoreless inning. So a Miami Marlins team that got off to a really nice start to the season. They have now lost 4 straight and 7 out of their last 8. So things are not necessarily savory there, but the good news is they're not the Mets, who have now lost 10 straight games. 4-2, the Cubs get the job done here as Freddy Peralta, he lost 3 runs over the course of 5 2/3 innings, including a home run to Ian Happ, who was not hapless. 6th home run in the campaign. And then Brooks Raley, He gives one up to Carson Kelly. Second home run the campaign. He inherited a lot of runners, so he's only on the hook for one run, but that was a three-run shot. From there, Luke Weaver, pair of outs out of the bullpen. Squirrels, who lowers ERA to 7.36. Craig Kimbrell, Squirrels setting as well, and Jameson Taillon. Rock solid start here. Gives up a home run over the course of six innings. Mark Vientos, second home run the campaign. He had from there, Ben Brown go for two innings. Gives up an unearned run. Kill Theobar, Squirrels setting. So the Cubs are back online, and the Mets, they continue to stink. For the Minnesota Twins, they're starting to head back down to earth a little bit. They're now 11-10, and the Reds are 13-8. Reds get the job done by a count of 5-4 as Andrew Abbott does give up four runs, three of which were earned in 4 2/3 innings, but Reds right now have the best bullpen ERA in the big leagues by like a half a run. And for Sam Wohl, he comes in from the bullpen for an out of the bullpen scoreless. And then Pierce Johnson, Brock and Roll Burke, Kyle Nicholas, Tony Santian all turn scoreless innings. Taj Uncal, Milton Bradley was not playing games. Two runs allowed over the course of six innings. But bullpen had their issues in this one. Cole Sands gives up a run in an inning. Eric Orze, run given up in an inning. Justin Topa, 2/3 of an inning. He allows a run. Cody Funderburk and out of the bullpen scoreless. But the Reds, who were dead last in the big leagues in terms of run creation entering into this game, they find a way to get it done. The Yankees have been relatively pedestrian with their offense. Not so pedestrian on Saturday. 13-4, they get to Noah Cameron and company to be able to get the win for the Yankees. Will Warren, two runs allowed in seven innings, punched out 11, did give up a home run along the way. Carter Jensen, who ever since the oversleep situation has been great. Fifth home run in the campaign. From there, Paul Blackburn allows two runs over the course of two innings. And for our good friend Noah Cameron, seven runs, five of which were earned in four innings, gives up three bombs as Ahmed Rosario gets his third home run in the campaign. For Cody Bellinger, home run number two of the season. Ben Rice's seventh home run of the season. And then Bellinger will go deep again, this time off of Mitch Spence, gets his third home run in the campaign. Spence was spent. Six runs allowed over the course of four innings. So Yankees, they were able to get their offense up and running. And the Giants, they now have 17 runs total in the series against the Nationals. They find a way to persevere in 12 innings by a count of 7-6. As for the Nationals, they had a 5-1 lead in this game, and they relinquish it as Kate Cavalli, three runs, one of which was earned, given up in four innings, but jacked up his pitch count. And from there, Mitchell Parker gives up three runs in three innings, including a home run to Aloy Ramos, his second home run of the campaign. Gus Farland from there, a scoreless inning. Richard Dickey, Lovelady, two scoreless innings out of the bullpen. Cionel Perez in two innings and extras. I mean, he allows one on a run. He was honestly fine. And for Adrian, don't call him Doogie Howser. He did pitch like Doogie in this one. 5 2/3 innings. He gives up five runs, four of which were earned, including a home run to James Wood. Good Wood for a seventh home run of the campaign for him. But the bullpen from there was great. Ryan Borucki not out of the bullpen scoreless. Eric Miller, Matt Gage, both lined to scoreless inning. Ryan Walker, he gives up a run in his two innings of work, but then from there, Caleb Killian, scoreless 11th and 12th innings to be able to get that one in. And you know what we're not seeing right now? Unders out there in Sacramento. We have had one under in Sacramento thus far this season. And for the Athletics, they find a way in extras to be able to get this win. 7-6, a final. Luis Severino, not what he was looking for. Five runs allowed over the course of 5 1/3 innings. He gives up a pair of bombs. Andrew Benintendi, first home run of the campaign. And then you had Colson Montgomery get his fourth home run of the season a little bit later on. How about home run number 7 of the season for the Japanese import, Muntaka Murakami? For Murakami, he was able to go deep in this one off of Hogan Harris, who gives up that home run in 1 1/3 innings. But from there, Joe Kuno, 1 1/3 innings scoreless. Mark Leiter Jr., pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Jack Perkins, 2 1/3 innings scoreless. And for Eric Fetty Wap, he does give up a home run, three runs in total over the course of 4 2/3 innings, taken deep by Jacob Wilson, second home run in the campaign. And then Nick Kurtz off of Jordan Leisure, he leisurely gets his second home run in the campaign. Leisure gives up two runs at his inning work. Sean Newcomb, 1 1/3 innings, he allows one run. Brian Hudson, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jordan Nix, all end a scoreless inning. And then Lucas Sims gives up an unearned run in the 11th, being able to walk it off. Max Muncy, the wrong Max Muncy, a RBI hit, so he finds a way to be able to get this one to the window. And also being able to get to the window, how about the Colorado Rockies? They take down the LA Dodgers, this by a count of 4-3 for Emmett Sheehan. He gives up two runs over the course of five innings, was pretty solid there. Will Klein then gives up two runs in an inning. Alex Vesia, Edgar Enriquez, they both give you a scoreless inning. But Ryan Feldner, good start here. Three runs, two of which were earned in 5 2/3 innings. Did allow a pair of bombs. Kyle Tucker, third home run of the campaign. And Dalton Rushing, fifth home run of the season. He's had like five home runs in something like 18 or 19 at-bats. It's insane. But from there, Brandon Bernardino, farts out the bullpen scoreless. Jay Neal, Victor Vodnik, they both lend a scoreless inning. So the Rockies, they find a way as a big underdog to be able to get that one in. Being able to get this one in, the Seattle Mariners, 7-3. They're able to take down the Walker Texas Rangers. As for the Rangers, yeah, Nathan Eovaldi struggled once again. Four runs over to were earned in five innings as he gives up a home run to Luke Raley, his Fifth home run of the campaign. From there, Cal Quantrill. Yes, that Cal Quantrill. He goes for three innings, gives up three runs, did have five strikeouts, but struggled out there. George Kirby, he allows just one run in five and two-thirds innings, including a home run to Josh Young. Second home run of the campaign. From there, Matt Brash, Gabe Spire combined for a scoreless inning. You did have Jose Ferrer giving out of the bullpen scoreless. Edward Bizzardo, a scoreless inning. Cole Wilcox does give up two runs in two-thirds of an inning, but Andres Munoz is able to clean up the mess. He gets a final out to be able to get a save, so the Seattle Mariners, they're starting to improve. 9-13 overall in five at home. They've been much worse away from home, but a team that is really struggling right now. Houston Astros now 8-14. 7-5. The Cardinals get the job done here, and Andre 3000 Pallante, well, he didn't get 3,000 strikeouts, but he did get five. Gives up one run over the course of five innings. Gives up home run to Yordan Alvarez. League-leading ninth of the campaign. And then you were able to get home run number one of the season for Shea Whitcomb. Whitcomb, he was able to go deep off of George Soriano. That's when it was too little too late. Soriano does give up three runs at a third of an inning, but Astros entered into that 8th/9th inning down 7-1, so that was a little bit rough. Gordon Gassefo, two scoreless innings. Matt Savanson, he gives up a run in an inning. He has really struggled. And then you did have Riley O'Brien get the final two outs of the game to be able to get this one in for the Cardinals. And for Lance McCullers Jr., he continues to struggle. Four runs allowed over the course of five innings, was taken deep in this game by Mason Wynn, first home run of the campaign. And then you had Jose Fermin being able to get his first home run of the season. That comes off of Colton Gordon. And then Gordon would give it up to Alec Burleson. Third home run season for Gordon. Three runs allowed in 2 2/3 innings. AJ Bluba, four outs out of the bullpen, scoreless from there, but a little bit too little too late on that one. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, just not a lot doing at the plate for them. They fall to the Atlanta Braves by a count of 3-1. As for the Bravos, you had Chris Sale be masterful in this game. One run allowed over the course of seven innings. He does give up a home run as going deep for home run number one of the season. Felix Reyes in his MLB debut. Congratulations to him. But from there, the Atlanta Braves were able to shut it down. Dylan Lee along with Robert Suarez, both on his scoreless inning. Canis for Sanchez. He was on the hook for three runs in six innings in this game, all of which were unearned. Amando Sosa had a bad error out there in the field that was really costly. And then from there, Jose Alvarado, Tanner Banks, Brad Keller, they all end a scoreless inning. But the Atlanta Braves, 14-7, they're looking like the Braves that we once saw a few years ago. And then for the Baltimore Orioles, they find a way to be able to upchuck this game against the Cleveland Guardians by a count of 4-2. As for Dean Kramer, three runs allowed over the course of six innings, including a home run to a one Mr. Brian Rocchio, third home run of the campaign. And then from there, Bo Naylor, he goes deep off of Albert Suarez for his first home run of the campaign. Gavin Williams just continues to be great. The command has been a little bit of an issue, but 11 punchouts in seven innings does allow a solo home run in this game, as he was taken deep by Leody Taveras, first home run of the campaign. Gunnar Anderson, a little bit later on off of Hunter Gaddis, he gets a seventh home run of the campaign. Gaddis, he gives up that solo run in his inning of work, but Cade Smith, he's able to come in for a scoreless inning, so the Guardians, they find a way to be able to get that one done. Then in the nightcap, the Padres, they find a way to get that one done. 4-1, the final, as Herman Marquez, who has been off to a relatively rough start to the season, boy, did he look good in this one. 5 2/3 innings scoreless. From there, Andre Morejon, four outs of the bullpen scoreless. Jason Adam, he does allow a run in an inning, got into a little bit of a sticky situation, but for the Angels, they go just 1 of 8 with Ben in scoring position. And then Mason Miller closes the door, a scoreless ninth inning, and he has been tremendous this year. And for Yusei Kikuchi, I say he was pretty good in this one. 8 punch-outs, 6 scoreless innings. Bullpen from there unravels. Ryan Zephyrian, 2 runs allowed in an inning. Nick Sandlin, 2 runs allowed in 1 2/3 innings. You did have Sean Anderson get an out of the bullpen scoreless, but not enough there. And if you're taking a look at trend-wise, what we're getting in Major League Baseball right now, favorites are starting to have a little bit of a rebound. On the money line in the last 7 days, 53-40, hitting at 57%. The over rate, it's starting to come down a little bit, but it's still been a very overwhelming stretch. 51 overs, 43 unders, and I believe we've had 2 pushes along the way. And if you're looking at the entirety of the season, favorites are right now hitting at 54.1%, 165 at 140 on the money line. All those 165 favorites that have won, you have had 26 not cover the run line, and then the over rate is at 52.8%, 159 overs, 142 unders, and some pushes along the way. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we're all getting trend-wise. Coming up next, how about if we do chat it up with our good friend Tanner Kern of DraftKings right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beast and Family Podcast.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, as we've got Tanner Kern aboard. He does such great work over at DraftKings, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of baseball, and he really does a great job on so many different fronts, whether it's taking a look at the fight game, whether it's taking a look at football. I know that we've got playoff basketball, he's dialed in there, and so much more, and you're able to follow him on the old Twitter /X at his first and last name, Tanner Kern, and then an underscore after that. And Tanner, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Always appreciate it.
I always appreciate you, Tanner, and you're a man that is out there in the lovely city of Boston, and I do have to call it what it is. I'm sure one thing you don't appreciate is the start to the season that they've gotten off to. What should be the panic level right now for the Boston Red Sox? Because it is early, but at the same time, I do think that there needs to be some level of concern right now with the way that they played.
I don't think the record is really the reason for the panic. I think it's just the lack of ability, I should say, to hit the baseball. I mean, we saw it today with Skubal on the mound. I mean, they had moments where he was rattled a little bit. I'm not saying they were going to win that game at any point, but you had bases loaded, no outs. You only got one run in. You had second and third, I believe, one out, didn't get any runs in. So just a lot of missed opportunities, and that's kind of been the MO of the Red Sox all season long. They're not a team that's going to hit for power really at all, so they need to put the ball in play, and they don't do a very good job of it. Too much strikeouts, and then you combine that with the starting pitching being somewhat lackluster, like Crochet getting bombed the other day. That was crazy. Ranger Suarez has really been good his past couple starts, but early in the season, and he struggled a lot. And then you got a guy like Sonny Gray who knows what we're going to get from him moving forward, right? But the panic level is more that than the record, because while the record's 8-12 right now, you're only 3.5 games out of first place in the American League East, and you're only 2.5 games out of the final wild card position right now. So there's a lot of baseball left. They were under 500 for a good chunk of last season, found a way to pull through with a 10-game winning streak. But overall, the concern is high just because of how they play, not so much the record.
And I do agree with you on that front. I do think that it's been concerning what we've seen out of the offense thus far this season. And how concerning has it been that Garrett Crochet hasn't necessarily been the ace that he was last season? Because now he finds himself as about a minus 140, minus 145 favorite against the Tigers on Sunday. And I feel like the Garrett Crochet starts are the ones that the Red Sox absolutely have to win.
Oh, they have to win every time he takes the mound moving forward. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do that in his last start against the Minnesota Twins. I look at the Tigers right now, and I've watched this series pretty closely, obviously, because I am a Red Sox fan. I don't have a lot of respect for the Tigers. Like, they're a good team. They probably do the little things a lot better than Boston. But, you know, if you don't have Skubal on the mound, they're not necessarily the most dominant team in the world. I do believe the Boston Red Sox should be able to get the job done against them with Crochet on the mound. And all eyes are going to be on this start, because when you look at what Crochet did in his last one, it was very poor. So I am concerned that he is not the dominant pitcher that we knew at the end of last season, but the beginning of last season was not the most dominant stretch from him either. It takes time to get adjusted. He has not been sharp with his location. I believe he's going to figure out if he is healthy. We're going to find out really on Sunday if he is healthy, because if he has another bad start and the velocity starts to tick down to, you know, 92 miles an hour, which it was at the end of his last start, you know, we're in trouble for sure. But I feel okay right now. They have to win every start he takes the mound, though. Totally agree there.
Yep, and it's going to be a fun one on Sunday between those two, as Tanner Kern, who does such great work over at DraftKings, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I know that you mentioned with regards to the Red Sox, it's not really the record. It's more or less what we've seen out of them in terms of on the field that is a concern. What should the level of concern be for the Mets? Because I think that a 10-game losing streak, I recognize that they're without Juan Soto. This is the one team that if you have concern about early in the season, I think that the Mets deserve a gold star in that category.
Yeah, that's a higher level of concern, because the National League is stronger record-wise right now, too. I mean, they're 6.5 games out of first place. That's when you start getting to that danger zone a little bit. I mean, 3.5 is not good. And you don't get me wrong, you can make up 6.5 games. You've seen, you know, many, many times where teams...
The Guardians last year!
Guardians, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Guardians was 20 games, maybe 18 games, whatever it was at its peak. You know, just naming a number there. But yeah, anyone could come back. It's just the National League is a lot stronger. The one thing about the Mets, you know, comparing them to the Red Sox, I know the Mets have it within them to get it done. You know, you look at the team as a whole right now, you have Bo Bichette, you have Francisco Lindor, you have Marcus Semien, Luis Robert Jr., Brett Beatty. Like, there are bats in this lineup. Obviously, when you get Juan Soto back, that's going to make a big difference for them. But there's so much power and so much potential in this lineup. And I do believe they're going to start hitting the baseball eventually. They kind of have to. Where, like, I look at the Red Sox, they just don't have those guys. I like Freddy Peralta. I like Clay Holmes. I obviously love Nolan. There's guys that I feel comfortable with on the mound and at the plate, but they got to turn it up sooner. It could be a tough climb to get back into the mix.
Yep, it certainly could be, but I do think that it's going to be very fascinating to see what happens across that National League, because I'm not sure if you've taken a look at the landscape of baseball, it just feels like the National League is not just a little bit better than the American League, it just feels leaps and bounds, because you mentioned the fact that you're not as concerned with the Red Sox record-wise, and I would agree with you, just mainly because in the American League, it feels like a big giant hodgepodge right now, whereas in the National League, if you have a few off weeks, these teams like the LA Dodgers, the Padres, the Atlanta Braves, they're just going to be able to continue to rack up win after win and really dig you into a big hole.
Yeah, definitely. And going off the Red Sox example, just because we've talked about them a lot, they're 8-12 right now. Say they win with Crochet on Sunday, and then they find a way to pull it through on Monday with Sonny Gray. Not saying that's going to happen, but you're back to 10-12 right there. Then you got the Yankees coming to town. You take a series from them, or even if you don't take the series, you're still in the mix. But if you take the series from the Yankees, you're almost ahead of the Yankees in the standings. That's how tight it is right now in the American League East and the American League Central. There's three teams that are 11-10 right now. And then the American League West, you got another three teams who are basically 11-10. Rangers lead the mix there, 11-9. Everyone's kind of in that same boat, right? It's going to come down to which team gets the hottest, has the hottest stretch over maybe a month, where in the National League, the Braves are out in the front. And, you know, I feel bad for the entire National League, because you have to play against the Dodgers, and they're 15-4 right now and on record pace. And the San Diego Padres, if you go into the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, basically down a run or two, you have no chance of winning those baseball games. So it's just really hard in the National League, where the American League, it's competitive, but it's all mid-level teams, I would say, with the competitive, where the National League's competitive and you have the top-level teams.
Yep, I'm right there with you. With the National League, it just feels like it's a much deeper league in general. And I do want to ask you about this, because we have seen quite a few of these young teams be able to rise up, both in the National League and the American League. For the Minnesota Twins, they've actually been one of the best teams out there in the American League. I don't know how much that is going to be a mainstay, but the St. Louis Cardinals, not saying they've been amazing, but they've been able to rack up a few wins. A team like the Miami Marlins, Tampa Bay Rays have been able to as well. The Pittsburgh Pirates, have to mention them. Which out of those young teams do you think might have the staying power to be able for the entirety of the season, maybe not like win their division and be like a super rambunctious team, but perhaps be able to contend for a wild card spot and have themselves a nice, respectable winning record?
I think you have to say the Pittsburgh Pirates, right? Like, that is the team, because they have, obviously, you got Paul Skeens. Anytime Paul Skeens is on your team, you get a chance to win. You know, the situation they're in right now, you got Mitch Keller as well. You know, you also have a young, fun offense right now. Connor Griffin, when he starts to come along, and he's only going to get better as the season goes on, right? Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Ryan O'Hearn, you know, Marcelo Ozuna. There's a lot of power in this lineup. And looking at their division specifically, that's the biggest thing to know, because the Cincinnati Reds are leading the division right now, and the Reds do a lot of good things well. They put the ball in play. I don't have a ton of respect for the Reds overall. I think the Pirates could win and be better than Cincinnati by the end of the year. Milwaukee's really good, but they don't have a lot of high-end bats. They got some good pitching, but you know, they're a team that just lives on putting the ball in play. I think the Cardinals will eventually fade, and the Chicago Cubs are, you know, probably the most talented team in the division overall, if not necessarily played to their best of their ability. But yeah, I think the Pirates are a team that definitely clinches a wild card spot in the National League and potentially wins the Central.
Yep, I think so as well. And I do think that entire NL Central is going to be so interesting. The Brewers have continued to win games, but right now they're very much banged up. For the Chicago Cubs, well, they're getting games against the New York Mets right now. Very much a spot where you want to be with the Mets and all that we've seen out of them thus far. And then this team has been struggling as well. The Philadelphia Phillies, it feels like both East have just had a lot of struggles thus far this season. Phillies are a slight favorite against the Braves with Andrew Painter against Grant Holmes. I want to get your thoughts on this game, especially with the total being 8, because I don't know if the Braves ever get back to where they were in 2023, but this offense looks to be back in full force. Andrew Painter is a very young pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies that's now having to pitch on Sunday Night Baseball. To me, this feels like a really good spot for the Braves at even money or better.
Yeah, it feels like a great spot. Grant Holmes has the experience there coming in this game, 1-1 with a 3.22 ERA, again, 30 years old. The 1.11 whip stands out to me, only giving up 14 hits in 21 innings, does a really nice job locating. He can get wild at times, but for the most part, you know, he's been very solid this season. He's a consistent pitcher. With Andrew Painter, I worry about the fact that he is only 23 years old in this spot. You know, this is his first season, right? He's pitched in 3 games. He's 2-1. He's been good, but you know, you got a quality offense in the Atlanta Braves, the team leading the division, Sunday Night Baseball, first really big spot of your career outside of your debut. And you know, the Braves have just been better than the Philadelphia Phillies. 9-0 win in game 2. You know, we're recording this as we speak right now. 9-0 win in game 1 as we speak right now. Game 2 in progress. It's 3-1 Braves. I think the Braves are just the better overall team. And Philadelphia, the high-end bat, they're so inconsistent. That's my biggest fear with Philadelphia. So really good spot for plus money with the Braves.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I do like what I'm seeing the Braves. And then with regards to the American League, I want to keep this one a little bit more open-ended because we've mentioned it. There's been a lot of disappointments out there in the American League. But is there a team or two that's gone off to a slow start that you do think that they're going to be able to find it? And you think that even though it's been maybe a little bit tumultuous to begin the season, that they are going to be able to have a bit of a rebound?
The Boston Red Sox, I know my fandom plays into it a little bit, but I have to believe that they're going to be better than they are now because you're getting absolutely nothing from Roman Anthony. When you start getting something from him, you're going to be better. Marcelo Meyer, same thing. And the starting pitching is getting better, but it's not great. Crochet is getting bombed, right? Like he did last start. Can't say that they're playing to their potential right now. So I think Boston, obviously, New York, 12-9. I mean, they're solid 571 win percentage, right? But I think they have a lot more to uncork there too. And then, you know, a team like the Seattle Mariners or the Houston Astros, you have to say those two, right? Seattle, you know, close to the World Series last year, and the Houston Astros are a perennial playoff power. So those two teams, I would say 8-13 right now, I think they're going to actually make a run here a little bit and, you know, get back on track very soon.
Yep, I think that for the Boston Red Sox, things are starting to look a little bit better for them. I thought it was big a week and a half ago that at home they were able to win some of those games against the Brewers. And with the Toronto Blue Jays not looking great as well, that's going to be able to help them out as well. And then when it comes to what we've got here on Sunday, all 30 teams are going to be in action. Anything else that's really standing out to you? Because I think that there are some very interesting games, including the Mets trying to, can't believe I'm saying this, snap a 10-game losing streak right now, but anything that's really standing out to you?
I love that New York Mets versus the Chicago Cubs. It's going to be a fun one with David Peterson and Javier Assad on the mound. Again, it's probably a pretty good spot to take the Mets with plus money there. You know, Assad has not been good. Peterson has not been good. Maybe the best way to play that's just taking the over in general, even though the Mets really have not been hitting the ball great. Again, excited for that Sunday night baseball matchup you were talking about. And then really excited also to watch Garrett Crochet. I mean, Tigers versus Red Sox is going to be fun. All eyes are going to be on Garrett Crochet just because of how he performed in his last start. If you're looking for one of my favorite bets of the day, I would probably say it's going out and, you know, looking at the Athletics potentially on the run line for plus money right now with Jeffrey Springs on the mound coming off a just fantastic start, fantastic season, I would say, but, you know, fantastic couple starts against the New York Yankees and then the Texas Rangers as well. I think they're going to have an easy time covering the run line. I hate playing run lines at home, but it's definitely worth it when you got a guy like Springs on the mound going against Nolan Schultz, who has not been solid in his first four innings of pitching so far this season.
And how much do you just want to continue to look at overs in Sacramento? Because we've only seen one under thus far this season. They set another total of 9 here on Sunday, and it just feels like the bookmaker are setting too low of totals out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hesitant with a guy like Jeffrey Springs on the mound because, you know, Springs might not give up a lot, and then you're leaning on the Athletics to do the majority of the damage there, which they're more than capable of doing. But for this game specifically, I would probably be looking at Athletics team total over, because if you get in a situation where you're relying on two teams to score rather than one, it could be hard. And I do think the only way this game gets over 9 is the Athletics do the majority of the damage. But yeah, in general, I think 9 run totals out in Sacramento are definitely something to play over with the minor league stadium.
Yeah, it's been absolutely wild. Like, man, it's not even the warm season out there yet, and the ball has been absolutely flying, and we're always flying on this podcast when you're aboard, Tanner. You do such great work over at DraftKings on a wide variety of different fronts. Let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yep, so you can find me every single day on the DraftKings Sportsbook social pages. And then my personal podcast, Ride the Line, is every Tuesday and Friday with Grant Mitchell. So you can get that where you get your podcast. And then my personal page is just at Tanner Curran across all social platforms.
And Tanner, he's doing such a great job looking at baseball and so much more. And every single time he joins me, well, that's such great insight. So big thanks to Tanner for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Coming next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Sunday as we touch them all.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Tanner Curran. He does such amazing work over at DraftKings. He is also one half of the Ride the Line podcast as well. Every single time he joins me, he lends such great insights, and he did so once again today. So a big thanks to Tanner for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Sunday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that as per usual, any changes are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /xfeed at June_81. We are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first in time order, then the American League games in time order, any interleague games, those will be in time order, and at the bottom, that'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So, but if we do get things started with 901, 902 on the card, the Giants are on the road against the Washington Nationals. Miles Michaelis goes for the Nationals, and Robbie Ray says, hip, hip, hooray, to another start. Totals between 8 to 8.5 on the 8, overs minus 115, the unders minus 105 on the 8.5, unders minus 115 to a minus 125, overs between minus 105 to a plus 105. Giants are minus 140 to minus 148 favorites. Plus 118 to plus 126 is that number on the Nationals, and I am all aboard the over. I set my total at a 9.4, especially with the fact that you had many extra innings in the game yesterday. So you've got two burnt-out bullpens and a guy in Miles Michaelis whose ERA is above 11 right now. Not great, to say the least. As, man, it has been absolutely brutal for him this far. Last year, he was supposed to get up a 4.88 ERA with over a home run and a half allowed per 9 innings. And he's been way worse this year. 3.4 home runs, 5.2 walks allowed per 9 innings. Now, it's a Giants team that entered into this series dead last in the league in terms of scoring with about 3.1 runs per game, but they've been able to find it here in this series. Robbie Ray, 2.42 ERA thus far this season, but a 4.68 fielding independent. He's allowed 4 home runs across his 4 starts with 22 and a third innings, and he is facing off against a Nationals team that they have been really good with regards to their run creation. Entered into Saturday third with about 5.6 runs per game, and James Wood is coming off a year last year where he was able to supply 30-plus home runs. He's been able to do a great job thus far this season. You've been able to have quite a few of the young guys be able to step up, as Joey Weimer is sitting above 300 for the team. C.J. Abrams, over a 450 on base. He's been able to give you 5-plus home runs. Dallin Lyle is sitting above a 275. Jacob Young is moving the line. They've got a young third baseman, and Jobert Vivas, hopefully I got that correct, he's been hitting above 300. And on the flip side for the Giants, Rafael Devers just continues to not live up to that contract. But hey, Luis Rise is hitting above 300. Matt Chapman, not providing power, but he's moving the line. Aloy Ramos has hit 2 home runs over the last 5 games, so he's starting to find it a little bit. Jungo Lee is starting to get on base as well. The power is really lacking for this Giants team, but they've been able to do a good job in terms of being able to find a way on base. I do think that the power is going to be there a little bit more moving forward, and this is just an untrustworthy Washington Nationals bullpen. Right now, you've got the likes of Clayton Beter, Paxton Schultz, and so many other guys. They're posting up above a 5 ERA, and again, they had to burn up so much of that bullpen yesterday. That's not even funny, and for the Giants, they had to go through quite a bit of that bullpen as well. Ryan Walker is a guy that was a little bit shaky last season, and he had to throw 26 pitches. So Matt Gage, Ryan Barucki, both threw less than 10 pitches yesterday. Gage has been solid. Ryan Barucki has not been. I do think that you got a little bit of upside here with Eric Miller, who had a sub-350 ERA last season. So circumstance where I did set my money line price at a minus 151 on the Giants. Looking at that money line, I like the over. Somebody told 9.4, 903, 904 on the card. It's the Brewers on the road against the Marlins as Eury Pérez is on the bump for the Fish, and the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, goes for the Brewers. Brewers are between minus 120 to minus 125 favorites, and between even money to plus 105. That number on Miami, 7.5 to 8 is the total. On the 7.5, overs minus 120. The unders even. On the 8, over and under, both at minus 110. I like the under. I saw my total at a 7.2 for Jacob Mizorowski. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's had some walk issues. Last season, 4.2 walks allowed per 9 innings. This year, 3.32 ERA, 13.7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but it's given up 1.7 home runs, 3.7 walks per 9 innings. You do have a Marlins team that last season was 27th in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. They entered in the series 27th in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, but still, it's a team that does a relatively solid job moving the line. Xavier Edwards has been able to give you a 400-plus on base. He's good at swiping bags. Otto Lopez, Liam Hicks, both of these guys are hitting above a 300, with Hicks being your main home run hitter with 4 home runs. Owen Casey has been able to do a solid job finding way on base. Connor Norby, he's been able to give you a bit of something-something as well. And then on the other side, things for the Brewers, it's been a mash unit for this team, as you've got right now Christian Yelich out of the fold, Jackson Chirio, Andrew Vaughn, so the list of injuries goes on and on. Now they're finding guys like Garrett Mitchell, Brandon Lockridge in the outfield. They're able to find a way on. Bryce Durang is able to turn your trainer, but it's been a shaky start to the season for Sal Frelick. William Contreras continues to be solid, but the likes of Luis Renifo, Joey Ortiz in the infield, they've been a bit of an issue. And for the Brewers last year, top 10 team in terms of bullpen area, with having the likes of Aaron Ashby, Grant Anderson, Abner Uribe, Trevor McGill, all supply sub 350 ERA. They've been a little bit more hot and cold thus far this season. And for the Marlins, I do think that there's going to be some positivity with this bullpen. I like the fact that they brought in John King in the offseason. He, when he was with the Cardinals, Andrew Nardi, Anthony Bender, Pete Fairbanks, these are all guys that supplied a sub 350 ERA last season. Like Bakar is able to give you multiple innings as well. And for Eurie Perez, he's gotten off to a little bit of shaky start to the season with about a 540 ERA. That said, he's always been much better at home rather than away from home thus far this season. His ERA has been right around about 375 at home compared to above a 7 away from home. Last season, he had a 293 ERA with 0.2 home runs allowed per 9 innings at home, 533 ERA, 1.9 home runs allowed per 9 innings away from home. And I trust in Perez at home, so semi-line at a minus 107. Do like the Marlins here on the money line. I do like the under in a pitcher-friendly ballpark. Semi-total at a 7.2. 905, 906 on the card. The Mets are going to be on the road against the Cubs, as you've got David Peterson, great name, on the bump for the Mets, and Javier Assad is on the bump for the Cubs. Cubs are aiming between minus 116 to minus 126 favorites, and between even money to plus 105. That number on the Mets right now, seeing an opening total of 8.5, under is minus 115, and the over is minus 105, and I'm willing to take a shot here on the under. Did semi-total at a 7.3. It looks like the wind is going to be blowing in towards, like, certainly the back half of the game. Towards the beginning part of the game, it might be a little bit more directional, but towards the back half of the game, you're going to be getting some 10-plus mile-per-hour wind gusts that are going to be blowing inward, so that's going to be able to help out these pitchers. And both of these guys have been a little bit shaky. With David Peterson, I actually think that there's a lot of positivity that's doing for him. You look at the ERA right now of a 6.41, and it's brutal, 4.6 walks per 9 innings, but 3.36 fielding dependent, 9.6 home runs, 0.5 home runs per 9 innings. He's pitched better than that ERA would indicate. Javier Assad, he's allowed 9 runs to 10 innings thus far this season, but last season, 3.65 ERA, 0.7 home runs, 2.9 walks allowed per 9 innings, albeit he is a guy that's going to pitch quite a bit of contact, not a strikeout artist, but now you get to face off against a Mets lineup that, without Juan Soto, these guys have been completely lost. It's a 10-game losing streak right now for the New York Mets, and for the Metropolitans, who can you really trust in? Because Mark Vientos was off to that relatively nice start to the season. He's toiled pull. Francisco Alvarez has been able to give you 4 home runs. He's providing about a 385 on base. He's been fine. I do feel like Luis Robert has been much better than he has been in the past. 370 on base, fewer home runs for him, but Carter Benji, that young outfielder, along with Brett Beatty, both of these guys in the outfield are below the middle sign of 200. Francisco Lindor is just perennially a slow starter, 215 average. Bo Bichette has not been who they paid for thus far, so it's been an issue. And for the Cubs, it's been a little bit hot and cold with this lineup as well. Michael Busch, 275 on base without a lot of power, has not been great. Ian Happ doesn't hit for a great average, but he's giving you 6 home runs. Moises Ballesteros and Carson Kelly at the catcher spot, though, both above a 400 on base. Heck, Miguel Amaya is at a 400 on base. Pedro Armstrong has been useless. Dansby Swanson, he's been able to hit for a little bit of power, not necessarily give you a lot of average, but I do think that for the Cubs, they do a nice job here against a Mets team that Luke Weaver has been absolutely terrible in this bullpen. Devin Williams just continues to not be able to find it. Like Brooks Raley, Oscar Brisbane, they had a sub-350 ERA last season, but even though the Cubs are dealing with all the injuries in the bullpen, I just trust in this team to be able to shut down a Mets lineup that is getting nothing going whatsoever. Caleb Theobald coming off of a really nice 2025 season. Not sure if he continues it in 2026, but Jacob Webb, sub-3 ERA with the Rangers last season. Ben Brown could be a little bit of a good long guy as well, so made my money line price a minus 118, willing to lay up to a minus 117 on the Cubs here. And do like the under, semi-total 7.3. 907, 908 on the card. It's the Dodgers on the road against the Rockies. Michael Lorenzen goes for the Rockies, and Roki Sasaki is on the bump for the Dodgers. Dodgers do find themselves as massive favorites here, anywhere between minus 275 to minus 295, plus 235 to plus 225, seeing as high as plus 240, that number on the Colorado Rockies. 11 to 11.5 is the total. On the 11.5, under is minus 115, the over is minus 105. On the 11, the over is minus 115. The under is minus 105, and when it comes to this Rockies team, I'm willing to take a plus 230 or better on this money line. Now, Michael Lorenzen has been very rudely greeted to Coors Field thus far. You take a look at what he's done in his two starts out there at Coors Field, 8 2/3 innings, 10 runs allowed. That's not great. Overall, it's an 8.10 ERA with 17.3 hits allowed per 9 innings. So that's not amazing. But how about Roki Sasaki? 6.23 ERA, 2.1 home runs, 6.9 walks per 9 innings after he last year, 1.5 home runs, 4.5 walks per 9 innings in his small sample size during the 2025 regular season. So I do think that the Rockies are going to be able to get going a little bit more with their offense. You've had Troy Johnson, TJ Bromfield, both at above a 270. They have found a way to be able to move the line. You've got Mickey Moniak up to 5+ home runs. Hunter Goodman has been very rock solid at the catcher spot for the team. I know that he's gotten a little bit of time off here over the last week or so, but overall, you've been able to get good production out of the Rockies. Heck, Edouard Julien, I thought that that was a relatively good pickup as well. And for the Dodgers, they entered into Saturday averaging 8.4 runs per game away from home. Just absolutely amazing. Teoscar Hernandez, Freddie Freeman, both hitting above 280 with 7 home runs between the two of them. Max Muncy, 6 home runs to begin the season, over a 375 on base. Kyle Tucker has been a little bit slow out of the gates, and it hasn't mattered because Andy Paz, Shohei Ohtani, 5 home runs apiece. Paz entered into yesterday hitting above a 400. Miguel Vargas is hitting above a 350 going into yesterday. Dalton Rushing, 4 home runs at 17 at-bats. It's absolutely wild. And for the Colorado Rockies, it is a little bit of an improved bullpen. You've had Antonio Sensatella actually be halfway decent in the bullpen, and then the likes of Jaden Hill, Victor Vodnik, Jimmy Harrigan, they all provided a sub-425 ERA last season, and Brandon Bernardino, I like that pickup from the Red Sox and the Seattle Mariners. Meanwhile, for the LA Dodgers, they already have a little bit of an injury to Blake Treinen, Alex Vesia, Jack Dreyer, sub-325 ERAs last season. Tanner Scott, he was really good 2 years ago, had a rough year last year, looks like he's in for a bounce back. Edwin Diaz is your closer, but I do think that both of these starters give up a bunch of runs, and I think that that gives the Rockies a little bit of value here. Plus 230 or better. Looking at them on the money line, like the over sub, I told 12.3. 909, 910 on the card. It is the Braves on the road against the Philadelphia Phillies. Andrew Painter is on the bump for the Phillies, and Grant Holmes goes for the inline Braves. The Braves do find themselves anywhere between even money to plus 105. Minus 120 to minus 125. That number on the fills, 8 to 8.5 as the total. On the 8, over is minus 110 to a minus 115. Under is minus 105 to a minus 110. On the 8.5, under is between minus 115 to a minus 130. The over is between plus 110 to a minus 105. And with the Phillies, I set them at a minus 102. So being able to get like the plus 105 that I'm seeing on the Braves, I'm going to be willing to dial in on that money line for Andrew Painter. Has been a relatively okay start to the season. 3.77 ERA. The fielding independent has actually been 155. 10 strikeouts at 1.9 walks per 9 innings. But have to be concerned that the bottom's going to drop out on him. 5.26 ERA last season. Was given up over 3.5 walks per 9 innings. Has always had some command issues. So not sure if I could buy in on the small sample size. Meanwhile, Grant Holmes, 3.32 ERA thus far this season. 7.1 strikeouts to 4.2 walks per 9 innings. 4.17 fielding independent after last year. He had about 4 walks per 9 innings. That has me a little bit concerned as well. So I do think they get run scoring here, like the over sub, I told 8.7, and for the Atlanta Braves, I don't know if they ever fully get back to where they were in 2023, where they led the big leagues in terms of run creation, but 5.75 runs per game entering into Saturday, that is number 2 in all baseball, and it's not even like Ronald Acuna Jr. has been amazing for the team to begin the season. You've got Drake Baldwin, who's been able to give you 5 home runs, and he's been able to do a great job, give you over a 350 on base. Matt Olson, nearly a 375 on base, he's been able to supply the boom. Mauricio Dubon is hitting above 300. Ori Mateo has actually been able to give you some good at-bats. Ozzie Albies, he's a guy that we all know and love after a rough start to the season. Austin Riley is picking it up, so love this lineup. And then for the Philadelphia Phillies, Trey Turner down for what is moving the line. Bryce Harper, after a rough start to the season, he's been able to find it as he, along JT Realmuto, hitting above a 260. Harper's able to spy some power in. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, 6 home runs, not aiming for a lot of average, but he still does draw his walks. Alec Boehm, though, has been miserable. You don't know what you're going to get out of Odolis Garcia. Armando Sosa has been a little bit hot and cold. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, they're at a detriment with regards to the bullpen, as Jose Alvarado, ever since that drug suspension, has not been the same guy. Yoan Duran is now on the injury list. That's just absolutely brutal for this team. You've got Tanner Banks, who's been relatively okay, but who's now closing out games? If you need to go to Alvarado, that's not a place where you want to be in. For the Atlanta Braves, this team has been a top five team in terms of bullpen ERA. Tyler Kinley, since he came over from the Rockies towards the trade deadline in 2025, he's been supplying a sub-3 ERA in a Braves uniform. Dylan Lee, Robert Suarez, sub-350 ERAs out of these guys. Racio Iglesias has found it as a closer once again after a bad 2025 season, so with the Braves, pretty much any sort of plus money willing to take a shot on them on the line. I do like the over, so I might tell it at 8.7. 9-11, 9-12 on the card. It's the Royals. They're going to be on the road against the Yankees as Ryan Weathers is on the bump for the Yankees, and Cole Reagans goes for Kansas City. 7.5 to 8 is the total. On the 8, the under is minus 120. The over is even. On the 7.5, over and under, any between minus 105 to a minus 115, and Yankees are favorites of minus 136 to minus 150, plus 116 to a plus 125 is that number on the Royals, and I do like the over here. I did set my total at an 8.3 for Cole Reagans. He had a season last year where he was providing a 4.67 ERA, but a 2.50 fielding independent, so you thought that he was going to be doing for a lot of positivity this season. He just hasn't looked like the same game pitcher this season, though. In four starts, 3.78 ERA, but closer to a 5.38 field independent. He's really starting to give up the deep ball. He's been giving up 1.6 home runs per 9 innings. Strikeout stuff is way down. Last year, 14.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, down to 8.6 this season, 5.4 walks per 9 innings. And Ryan Weathers, he's coming off of a rough start his last time out. I believe that that was one of the games against the LA Angels, but he did have a career-high in strikeouts last season. I do think that he's going to bounce back a little bit. 4.29 ERA, 3.96 field independent. He's up to 12 strikeouts per 9 innings, but has been giving up the deep ball a little bit himself. And for the Royals, they entered in the series in the bottom 5 in the big leagues in terms of run creation. I do think that that's doing for a little bit of positivity. I'm not going to say that they're going to light the world on fire or anything like that. I do think that there are just some lost causes in this lineup. Like right now, you've got Salvador Perez and Vinny Pascantino, who just are not giving you a lot of average. Both guys have just 2 home runs apiece. Jonathan India has been a big flop for this team, but Bobby Witt Jr. continues to give you 345 on base. Fortunately, nobody wants to drive this guy in. Michael Massey, Isaac Collins, Lane Thomas, they're all hitting at 200 or lower, so that's been a little bit of an issue. But Jack Aglione, at the very least, he's moving the line. 345 on base. Carter Jensen has been able to give you already 4 home runs ever since the oversleep situation. And then for the New York Yankees, the offense is starting to come along for the ride. It's really been a lot of the infielders have not hit for them. The likes of Ryan McMahon, Jazz Chisholm, these guys hitting below 200. That's been the real issue. As Ben Rice, he's done a really good job of being able to put bat to ball. 4 plus home runs, actually up to 7 home runs, I believe. 450 plus on base. You've got Aaron Judge, who's been able to hit the deep ball. It's not really giving you the same on base as he has in the past, but I think that that's going to be coming along. Cody Bellinger, he's now got 3 bombs after what we saw on Saturday, 370 on base. And for this Yankees bullpen, I do think that it's going to be pretty solid this season. They're without Luke Weaver, but still, you've got Camilo Duval, David Benar, who you picked up at the trade deadline last year, Brent Hedrick, Fernando Cruz, Tim Hill. They all provided a sub-325 ERA last season. And for the Royals, their main closer, and Carlos Acevedo, he is currently on the injured list. And I do think that this is a very solid bullpen. Lucas Ursach has had his issues over the last 7 or so days, but he's still able to be a nice bullpen piece. Nick Mears was solid with the Brewers last season. Matt Strom, sub-350 ERA with the Phillies last season. Daniel Lynch is a good long guy, but still, I do think that Cole Reagan's not the same guy that we saw last season. I think that the Yankees get to him. Semi-total at 8.3, like the over. And with the Yankees, something about a -166 on the money line. I'm willing to lay that money line. 9.13, 9.14 on the card. The Tigers are on the road against the Red Sox. Gerrit Crochet is on the bump for the Sox, and Framber Valdez is on the bump for Detroit. The total on this game is 7, over and under anywhere between -105 to a -115. With Boston, they're between -140 to -146 favorites. +118 to a +125 is that number on Boston. And I set a total here of a 7.6. I am going to be in on the over. For Framber Valdez, I just have a really tough time being able to trust in him. He gave up 4 plus runs in 8 out of his last 10 starts last season with the Houston Astros. And here to begin this season, it's not like he's been amazing. It's not like he's been terrible. 3.75 ERA, has yet to give up a home run this year, but he is down to 4.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's a little bit of an issue. And for Gerrit Crochet, I do think that he's going to be able to bounce back, and I do think that he's going to look a little bit more like the Crochet that we all know and love. He's right now recording a 7.58 ERA. He got absolutely mollywopped in that start against the Minnesota Twins. He's still getting good swing and miss stuff, though. 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Walks up and up, about 3.3 walks per 9 innings, but I do think that against the Tigers team that has been a very pedestrian offense thus far this season, that's going to help them out a little bit. Now, I do think that the Tigers are going to start to find it a little bit more. They were able to put up 4 runs on the board on Saturday, as right now you've got Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson just not really hitting for any power whatsoever after both had 30 plus home runs last season. And Torkelson, 338 on base, but 190 batting average. Wencio Perez is sitting quite literally 0.45. You're going to need a little bit more there, but Javi Baez is moving line, hitting above a 2.75. Kevin McGonigal, not a lot of power. He's hitting above 300. Cole Keith, about a 300 batting average for him as well. So guys are finding way on. And for the Boston Red Sox, after last year, they were sixth in the league in terms of run creation. They've been below league average as far this season. Caleb Durbin, Trevor Story, Isaiah Kinnear-Falefa, all in below the Mendoza line of 200. Now, Roman Anthony is starting to pick it up. He has been able to give you about a 345 on base. And then you've had Wilson Contreras do a nice job over a 400 on base. A little bit of power out of him, along with Wilder Abreu, who's been able to give you 3 home runs. I like what I've been seeing out of him. And for the Red Sox, this is a bullpen that last year was number 2 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Recognize that they've got an injury or two with Justin Slayton being out, but Danny Kalum had a sub-325 ERA. He joins this bullpen after he was with the Orioles and the Rangers last season. Garrett Woodlock, Greg Weiser, Aroldis Chapman, all sub-350 ERA in the back half last season. And for the Tigers. I do think that this is going to be a bullpen that you can rely upon towards back half of the season. Like Brian Herter, Will Vest, Heather Holnett, a sub-350 ERA. Last season, Kyle Finnegan says coming over from the Nationals, sub-3 ERA. Kenley Jansen, though, that is a massive, massive issue for this team. So, did set a total year of a 7.6, like the over with the Red Sox. Made their money line price of minus 147, so minus 146 or less, going to be in on Boston. 915, 916 on the card. The Orioles are going to be on the road against the Cleveland Guardians. Joey Cantillo is on the bump for Cleveland, and Trevor Rogers is in the neighborhood for Baltimore. 7 is the total. Over is anywhere between minus 115 to even money. The under is anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 120, minus 115 to a minus 120. The number on Cleveland, anywhere between even money to minus 102 is that number on the Orioles. And for the Guardians, I set their money line price at a minus 105. If you're going to be looking to lay a run half with the Cleveland Guardians, you're actually getting that at a plus 210. Like if I absolutely had to play this right now, I'd be looking there, or I would just be looking for plus money on the Orioles, which when it's all said and done, if we can find the Orioles at like a plus 105 or greater, I'd be looking there. So if my life depended on it right now, had to bet these very early openers with having half the books not posting up their openers yet, the ones with the dime lines, I would have to take the Guardians on the run line. But when it's all said and done, I do think that I'm going to land on the Orioles at a plus 105 or better. Trevor Rogers coming off of a little bit of a rough start last time out against the Arizona Diamondbacks, where he gave up 4 runs, but I believe that's just a second start since the beginning of 2025 where he's given up more than 3 runs. He's been a very steady Eddie guy. Dating back to the beginning of the 2025 season, he is right now registering an ERA of a 2.03, a little bit higher with a 2.83 fielding dependent, but half home run, 2.5 walks, allowed per 9 innings. Not an amazing strikeout artist, but still 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's very passable. And Joey Cantillo, he is a little bit more of a strikeout artist now. With Cantillo, he's going to have his walks issues. Last season, he was giving out about 4 walks per 9 innings. But 0.9 home runs, 7.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. Again this year, 3.9 walks per 9 innings, but 10.5 strikeouts, 0.9 home runs allowed per 9 innings. So I really do like what he brings to the table. Last season, the Guardians were 3rd in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, but it's been a little bit diminished this season because they've had a few injuries and they just had a few guys move around in general. Losing Jacob Junis was a little bit rough. Eric Zabrowski, Hunter Gaddis, these guys were rock solid, sub-325 ERAs last season. Cade Smith has been a big issue for the team, and when it comes to Cleveland Guardians, this is just never a team that lights the world on fire on offense. You do have Chase Elotter, who's giving you 5 home runs as far this season, but pretty much all those have come very early on in the season. He has really waned. Stephen Kwan hitting about a 245 to a 250. You could use a little bit more there. And then you've got the likes of Bo Naylor, Brian Rocchio, Kyle Manzardo, Reese Hoskins that are hitting a 230 or lower. Rocchio's actually giving you a little bit more power this season. And Daniel Schneeman last year was awful at the plate. He's hitting above 300. I think that there's going to be a bit of regression there. Jose Ramirez, he's starting to pick it up as well. But for the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson, he's been able to supply 5-plus home runs. Not aiming for a lot of average, but and you've got guys around him that have been. You've had Jeremiah Jackson at 5 home runs over the last 12 games. He's hitting above a 300. Taylor Ward, last year, 30-plus home runs with the Angels. I don't think that he has a single one with the Orioles yet, but he's been able to supply over a 375 on base. It's all about some of these young guys like Kobe Mayo, Samuel Basayo, Colton Cowser. They're hanging below the baseline of 200 to be able to pick it up for the Orioles. I think that this is a presentable bullpen. Ryan Elsley is starting to look like that guy that we all know and love for the just prime years of the St. Louis Cardinals. And then Yennier Cano, he's one of the better relievers in all of baseball like 3 or so years ago. He's been able to find it. Uncle Rico Garcia has been pretty solid as well. So I do think that if we can get some plus money here on the Orioles, a plus 105 or better, I'll be looking there. And do feel like this total has just gone a little bit too low. The Cleveland Guardians been a little bit more shaky with the bullpen. So semi-total 7.37 or less, like the over. And with the Orioles, I'm going to take plus 105 or better on that money line. 917, 918 on the card. The White Sox are going to be on the road against the Athletics. Jeffrey Springs is on the bump for the Athletics. And then you've got the young gun, Mr. Noah Schultz on the bump for the White Sox. White Sox do find themselves as underdogs between plus 122 to a plus 130. Meanwhile, minus 145 to a minus 156. Then around the Athletics, 9 is total. Over is minus 115, and the under is minus 105. And I have no idea how you get a total of 9 here. The Athletics have played one home game to the under this far this season, and this is start numero dos in the career of Noah Schultz, and I don't really expect anything good from him. From Noah Schultz in that MLB debut, he went out there for 4 1/3 innings, gave up 4 runs, 3 of which were earned. He gave up 4 walks along the way as well, and sure, he had a few nice starts for the AAA affiliate of the team this past season, but I mean, you go back to what he did last year at the minor league level, he was recording about a 4.68 ERA with 5.5 walks per 9 innings. the control issues can very much knock him out of the start early, and then he's backed up by a bullpen that is just straight up garbage. You've got Sir Anthony Dominguez right now as your closer. You've got so many guys like Sean Newcomb that don't belong on an MLB roster. Jordan Leisure has never been good in this bullpen. Brian Hudson has actually been quite solid, but they used him for 28 pitches yesterday. So lots of issues there. And for the Athletics, it's not like this is an amazing bullpen. I will say, Hogan Harris, Joe Kuhnel have been very solid in the bullpen, but they had to use up those guys yesterday. Elvis Alvarado gave you about a 4-year A last season along Justin Cerner as well. And for the Athletics, it's been a little bit cold for some of these bats in the lineup, the likes of Zach Lauf, along Tyler Soderstrom hitting right around about 200, Lawrence Butler as well. Do think that they start to pick it up a little bit. They've got Brent Rooker on the injury list, but Shea Langeliers, Shea is banged for 6 home runs at over a 300 average as far as this season. Jeff McNeil about a 340 on base at the top of the lineup. The wrong Max Muncy is giving you some power, hitting about a 275 as well. And for the White Sox, I do have to throw this in your man. You don't have a lot of guys that are hitting in general for this team among guys in the starting lineup. So this excludes the pinch hitters. You had one guy that left the game with hitting above a 240. That would be Everson Piera, who's actually been able to give you 3 home runs. He's been solid. Colson Montgomery, 4 bombs, but he's not hitting for any average whatsoever. And how about this? 386 on base, but a 209 batting average from Yuntaka Murakami. He is up to 7 home runs though, so he's starting to supply the boom a little bit for this team. And you take a look at Jeffrey Springs, and he just pitched a whole lot better when he was away from home rather than at home last year. That was pretty much everyone not named Jacob Lopez for the Sacramento A's last season. Now he's off to a nice start to the season. 146 ERA, 251 fielding independent, has yet to give up a home run across his 4 starts. But again, you take a look at what he did at home last season, and that was a big giant issue for him. When he was out there in Sacramento, he was posting up an ERA of a 481. At home, he gave up about 1.8 home runs per 9 innings. So I think that the ball is going to be flying. So by total 9.9, like the over. And for the A's, set their money line price at a -174. Don't know if I want to quite go run line here, but certainly going to take the money line, and I'm going to be on in the over 919, 920 on the card. The Rangers are on the road against the Mariners as Brian Wu says woohoo to another start, and Mackenzie Gore hopes to not get gored for Texas. The total on this game is 7, over and under both at -110. Meanwhile, with Seattle, they're between -148 to -155 on the money line, +123 to +130. That number on Texas, and I made my price on -162. Don't want to go run line because I do think that this is going to be a lower scoring game. So I told it 7.1. So to think we've gone just a little bit too low with the 7, but I'm going to take a little bit of a chalkier money line and just trust in Brian Wu to continue to be absolutely masterful. Last season, he was so great for the Mariners. 1.7 walks, 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings last season, and he's been able to do a very rock-solid job in terms of holding down the fort once again thus far this season. Meanwhile, you've got a guy on the flip side of Mackenzie Gore. He pitched better than his ERA last season. Last season, he had a 5-15 record, about a 4.15 or so ERA, actually 4.17, 3.74 fielding independent, though, 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but has always had command issues throughout his career. He's never had less than 3.5 walks per 9 innings. He's up to 4.7 walks per 9 innings this year, albeit 12.9 strikeouts per 9, but that said, with Seattle, it is very cold out there right now. It's been always a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, but I do think that we're going to see a little bit more of an outburst moving forward with this offense. They entered in this Saturday, 3.7 runs per game. Josh Naylor, Julio Rodriguez, Kyle Raleigh, only below a 225 with 1 or 2 home runs apiece. I do think that that's going to be going northward. Luke Rayleigh has been able to give you 4 home runs. He's done a great job in terms of moving the line for the team. You've been able to get quite a bit of production as well out of Randy Arroyo Reyna with about a 400 on base. Dom Canzone has been a little bit hit or miss, but do think that things improve with that lineup. And for the Texas Rangers, you've got Jake Berger and Corey Seager who've been able to supply 5 home runs apiece. And for Berger, he's not drawing any walks whatsoever, but is sitting above 250. Seager, he's not really been able to hit for a lot of average, but is drawing a few more walks. Josh Young is now hitting about a 300. And Brandon Nimmo has been a great find. He's been able to give you over a 360 on base, but things have been a little bit wobbly with regards to that lineup as well. Now, the Rangers last year were a top 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Bullpen this year has been solid. Even with Chris Martin on the injured list, you saw plenty of depth. Jalen Beeks may not post a great ERA along Tyler Alexander, but both guys can fill innings. Cole Wynn last year had a sub-225 ERA. Jacob Junis a sub-3 ERA with the Guardians. And it's been a little bit suspect here for the Seattle Mariners with Andres Munoz having a little bit of a rough first few weeks of the season. But he and Matt Brash, when they're fully going, they're one of the best 8th and 9th inning duos in all of baseball. Edward Bizzardo, Gabe Spire, they both supplied a sub-3 ERA last season. And I do think that Brian Wu going to be able to go out there, give you a good start. Don't want the run line here, but with the Mariners, set their money line price at a minus 162. I'm willing to lay the chalk your money line. I do like the over. Semi-total at a 7.1. 921, 922 on the card. It's the Tampa Bay Rays. They're going to be on the road against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mitch Keller is on the bump for Pittsburgh, and Shane McClanahan goes for the Rays. The Rays do find themselves as an underdog between plus 102 to a plus 105, minus 120 to minus 125. That number on the Pittsburgh Pirates, 7.5 is the total. Over is minus 110 to minus 120. Under is between even and minus 110. And for the Pirates, I'm willing to lay up to a minus 123 on the money line. And with the Pittsburgh Pirates, you've got a team that has been very resurgent this year. Last year, they were dead last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. And I don't know if it's sustainable, the fact that they're currently averaging 5 runs per game, but it certainly has been really nice to see O'Neill Cruz just be able to move the line a bit more. Last year was hitting right around about the Mendoza line of a 200. He's been hitting darn near 300 thus far this season. You've got two teams that are going to be very taxed in terms of bullpen because you have the long rain delay. So Drew Rasmussen and Paul Skeens were both yanked after 4 innings. And when it comes to his Pirates bullpen, still is a little bit suspect, to say the least. I do like what Yoan Ramirez has been able to bring to the table. He's been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Isaac Manson has been pretty solid as well. And then on the flip side for the Tampa Bay Rays, it's not been good with this bullpen. Hunter Biggie is a guy that I like. He's been able to give you a sub-3 ERA, but Griffin Jacks, Brian Baker, Cole Souls are all supplying north of 4 ERA. Ian Seymour has not been good in this bullpen. Overall, the Rays entered into this series 28th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, and you have to have issues with Shane McClanahan and whether or not he's going to be able to deliver a lot of length because he's coming off of injury, missed the entirety of the 2024 and 25 campaigns, and just has not been peak Shane McClanahan quite yet. Now, it's not like he's been terrible or anything like that. Right now, posting up a 3.95 ERA with a 4.62 fielding independent, but 8.6 strikeouts, the 7.2 walks per 9 innings are really the big issue here. And for Mitch Keller, he's got a 2.86 ERA, but a 3.84 fielding independent. Strikeout stuff is way down with him right now. He is getting a career low 5.7 strikeouts per 9 innings, and I think that he's going to revert back to where he was in the 2023, 24, and 25 seasons, where all three seasons he was between a 4.19 to a 4.25 ERA. So he's been very, very consistent with that regard. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, it has been a lineup that has been very rock solid. They've been a top 12 team in terms of run creation as Junior Caminero. He's up to 4 home runs after he had 44 last season. Chandler Simpson is one of the best base stealers in all baseball. He's hitting above 300. Johnny DeLucas hitting above 300. Nick Fortes has been able to move the line, hitting at 333. Taylor Walls has been much better this season. So I do like that lineup. And then for the Pirates, I did mention O'Neill Cruz and the outburst that he's been able to have. Marcelo Zuna, after a very terrible start to the season, he's been able to hit a pair of home runs here in the last few days. Additionally, you've got Ryan O'Hearn, who's been able to give you over a 400 on base after last season, over a 350 on base, 20 plus home runs. Brandon Lau, the former Ray, has been able to get Loud 4 plus home runs. He's giving you over 350 on base. So I think you can get plenty of runs up on the board. And just trust in Mitch Keller a little bit more here. Semi total at 8.3, like the over. And with the Pirates, what a lay up to a minus 123 on the money line. 923, 924 on the card. It's the Cardinals. They're going to be on the road against the Astros. Mike Burrows goes for the Astros. Matthew Liberatore is on the bump for the Cardinals. Cardinals do find themselves as a mid-tier underdog here. You're going to be getting them between plus 120, seeing as high as a plus 130 up there as well. Minus 142 to a minus 150 is that number on Houston. 8.5 is the total. Over is minus 120, and the under is even. And I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the Cardinals. I was willing to take a plus 129 or higher with them. For this Astros pitching staff, man, it's just not great to say the least. Having Josh Hader on the injured list, along with quite a few of the other ancillary bullpen pieces, Bennett Sosa and company, that has really been killing them. Mike Burrows might actually be one of their most trustworthy starters at this point. He was okay last year with the Pirates. Nothing great, nothing terrible. 3.94 ERA, 4 fielding independent. Was getting about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. This season, 6.55 ERA, 5.56 fielding independent. Giving up the 2 home runs per 9 innings. That has been a massive issue. And he goes up against the St. Louis Cardinals lineup that has been very resurgent, with Jordan Walker getting 8 home runs entering into the weekend. He has been great there for the St. Louis Cardinals team. They're averaging about 5.6 runs per game away from home. That is a top 7 mark in all baseball. Von Herrera has been able to move the line, give you over a 350 on base. Victor Scott is not going to give you a lot of power, but he's done an okay job in terms of being able to get on base as well. Alec Burleson, he's hovering right around about a 350 plus on base. JJ Weatherholt, not aiming for a lot of average, but he's been able to find a way to be able to draw some walks as well. And for the Astros, you really don't have a lot of qualms with the lineup. Like, for the Houston Astros right now, this is a top 7 team in terms of run creation. They're getting about 5.3 runs per game. Jose Altuve, he's still giving you over a 375 on base. Yordan Alvarez, 9 home runs. That currently leads the league with over a 450 on base. Carlos Correa may not be back to peak Carlos Correa, but he's been okay. Cam Smith is moving the line. Christian Vasquez is hitting above 300, so that's been fine. But Brian Abreu posting up north of a 9 ERA in the bullpen. AJ Blueball not being a great long guy is an issue. And then for the St. Louis Cardinals, it's a bullpen that they themselves have had their issues. Ryan Stanek, Mads Svensson, both posting up well above a 70 ERA. It's not been great. George Soriano's been halfway decent, but he's had a lot of issues over the last few seasons. I'd like Jojo Romero and Gordon. I guess Cepho has actually been halfway decent as well, but don't necessarily trust in them too much. For Matthew Liberatore, he's been posting up about a 4.29 ERA and just pitches to a lot of contact. In general, last year he was only getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, 12 punchouts in 21 innings to begin the season here this year. He's been giving out about 3 walks per 9 innings here to begin this season, but was a little bit better with the command last season. He's been able to induce a little bit of soft contact, so at a plus 129 or better, I'm going to be looking at the Cardinals on the money line and backing on the over. I did set my total at an 8.8, 925, 926 on the card. The Cincinnati Reds, yes, we're on to Cincinnati. They're on to the road against the Minnesota Twins. Bailey Ober goes for the Twins, and you've got one Mr. Brady Singer hoping to have the Twins singing the blues, and for the Minnesota Twins, they are between minus 125 to minus 130 favorites, and between plus 105 to plus 110. Then I'm on Cincinnati with a total of 8 over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to minus 115, and I do like the over. I set my total at an 8.7 for the Cincinnati Reds. I do think that Brady Singer is going to be doing for a little bit of positivity. Has been a little bit shakier to begin the season, but he's been able to keep the walks down. He's down to about 1.5 walks per 9 innings. He's currently supplying a 5.60 ERA with a 4.63 fielding independent. And for the Cincinnati Reds, they did enter in this series very rough on offense. As a matter of fact, entering into Saturday, dead sinking last with just 3.3 runs per game. But cousin Sal Stewart has been able to give you 6 plus home runs. He's providing over 350 on base. Got a guy in Eugenio Suarez, who last season he was just a lightning rod with 49 home runs. Obviously, is a little bit of an all or nothing hitter, but you know, that he's able to spy some boom. It's all about getting these outfielders to be able to get online, because you've had Rhys Hines, who 2 years ago had that just massive outburst, but he, TJ Friedel, Will Benson, all below the Bedell sign of 200. Tyler Stevenson has been a little bit rough to begin the season. Spencer Steer hasn't given you a lot. You need those guys to step it up, because you know what you're going to get out of Ellie De La Cruz, 5 plus home runs, over a 340 on base. And then on the flip side for the Minnesota Twins, I have no idea how they've been able to generate runs thus far, I'll be honest with you. Ryan Jeffers has given you about a 380 on base, and Josh Bell has been resurgent. 3 home runs, 360 on base. You've got Byron Buxton, who had a very rough start to the season, but now he's up to 3 home runs. He's been able to pick it up a little bit. I will say the 475 on base on Austin Martin has been a nice find, but instead you're still dealing with the injury to Royce Lewis, Ryan Kreidler. He's not hitting for any average, but he's able to move line. And then Matt Wallner, along with Cody Clements last year, both guys hit 20 plus home runs. Both guys also hit below a 225, and both are going to be looking to do the same once again this year. For the Minnesota Twins, it's a bullpen that last year was in the bottom 10 in terms of ERA. I think that they're probably going to be back there once again this year. Anthony Band has been terrible since coming over from the Dodgers. He's been posting up an ERA well above a 7. Jesse Topa, Cody Funderburk, these are like 4 ERA guys. Taylor Rogers and Eric Orze were nice finds. They both had a sub 350 ERA with their respective teams last season, but Rogers is getting up there in age. And then for the Reds, this team is number 1 by far in terms of bullpen ERA. They entered into Saturday with a bullpen ERA that was more than half a point better than the rest of the entirety of the league. Now, Emilio Pagan is a guy that I've never been able to trust him, but I mean, Tony Santee and Graham Ashcraft have been great as long guys. Sub 2 ERAs out of both of them. Connor Phillips has been able to hold down the fort. Pierce Johnson, he comes over from the Rays, about a 3.25 ERA last year. He's been able to do the same thus far this season. Brock and Roll Burke has been good, so I do think that for the Reds, they're going to be able to do a solid job there. And for Bailey Ober, I just don't trust in this guy whatsoever. Last year, a 5.10 ERA was given up about 1.8 home runs per 9 innings. 5.49 ERA thus far this season. He never really gives out too many walks. Last year, sub 2 walks per 9 innings, 2.3 walks per 9 innings this season, but down to 6.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. His swing and miss stuff has just really diminished. Think that the Reds get to him here, so set a total of an 8.7. I like the over, and the Reds on the money line was willing to take anything of even money or better. 927, 928 on the card. The Slam Diego Padres are going to be on the road against the LA Angels. Reed Detmers is on the bump for the Halos, and Michael King hopes to be the king for the Padres. Padres are between minus 115 to minus 120 favorites, and between even money to minus 105 is that number on the Angels. 8.5 is the total. Over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to minus 115, and made a total of an 8.1. I do like the under for Michael King. Had a rough year last year where he was giving up 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. Was very clear that he was not himself. He was dealing with a bunch of injuries. He's back in full force. Now, the strikeout stuff is down. Only about 7.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Typically in his last 3 healthy seasons, so that excludes last year, he's been above 10.4 strikeouts per 9 innings, but still, he's been able to keep the ball in the yard. 22 and 2/3 innings. He's only given up 1 home run, so that's been big for him. And then for Reed Detmers, it does look look like he's starting to put it together as a starting pitcher. Last year was solid out of the bullpen 2 years ago as a starter. It was a 670 ERA. That was not great, to say the least. And he's pitched better than the 357 ERA would indicate. 249 fielding dependent, 10.3 strikeouts, 0.4 home runs allowed per nine innings. But you have a Padres bullpen that last year was numero uno in all of baseball in terms of bullpen ERA. I recognize that Jeremiah Estrada is currently on the injured list, but Mason Miller is one of the best closers in all of baseball. Audrey Morahone, after a rough start to the season, he's been able to pick it up a little bit. Jason Adam, who began the season on the injured list, he's back. And I do think that for the Padres, they're going to be able to get a little bit more out of their main men, Manny Machado, along with Fernando Tatis Jr. Machado entered into yesterday hitting for just a 210. Tatis Jr., zero home runs, hitting about a 240. This is going to improve moving forward. And while they've been struggling, you've had Ramon Laureano be able to give you four bombs. He's hitting above a 275. Xander Bogaerts, who's been a big, giant waste of money, less of a waste of money this year. He's been able to give you three home runs. He's moved the line a little bit, so that's been good. Jackson Merrill, he's hitting about a 250. He's been able to give you a little bit of pop as well. And then on the flip side for the LA Angels, Mike Trout, five home runs in the last six games going into yesterday. He has been on an absolute tear, not necessarily hitting for the world's greatest average, and that's just the LA Angels in general, but Joel, he's setting fire to the rain. He's robbed three home runs already this year, and he's got three himself, hitting above 300. Zach Neto has been able to give you five home runs, hitting about a 250. Nolan Schoonall has been pretty solid in terms of being able to give you some solid at-bats. A little bit shakier over the last week or so. I think he'll pick it up, but as well, Peraza has been a really nice find. Four bombs, hitting above a 280 going into yesterday, and for the Angels, it's a more respectable bullpen than it has been in the past. Typically, the team is in the bottom five in terms of bullpen ERA, and they're still not amazing, but Brent Suter is able to be a long guy that gives you a sub-4 ERA. Chiz Silseth has found a nice home here in the bullpen. Drew Pomeranz was solid with the Cubs last season. Don't trust in Jordan Romano. Man, this guy has been bad over the last few seasons, but that said, I do think that for the LA Angels, they're going to get a good start here out of Demers. I think that the difference is that Padres bullpen, so somebody told it an 8.1, like the under, and for the Padres, made them a minus 148, so want to lay that money line. Wrap things up with 929, 930. You've got the Blue Jays on the road against the Diamondbacks. Ryan Nelson is on the bump for the Snakes, and Kevin Gosman goes for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays do find themselves as a very slim favorite in a lot of spots. Going to be getting them between about a minus 115 to a minus 110. Meanwhile, you're finding about minus 105 to minus 110 on the Arizona Diamondbacks. The total on this game, it is 8. The over is minus 115 and the under is minus 105. It's very clear what I'm going to be looking to do here. Whatever team becomes plus money is what I'm going to be looking at. Or if the Diamondbacks are more around about like even money. I set the Diamondbacks as a very slim minus 103 favorite. Right now, I'm mostly seeing minus 105, so we can get down to even money, which I think when it's all said and done, we are going to be able to. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the stakes on the money line for Kevin Gausman. Coming off of a year last year, we had about a 359 ERA, 8.8 strikeouts, a little bit over one home run allowed per nine innings. The fielding independent was very much in line with that, and he's been off to a nice start thus far this season. 242 ERA, the strikeout numbers have been way up, 12.5 strikeouts per nine innings. He's really not giving up too much with the deep ball. You just have to have a lot of trepidation with the bullpen because Max Scherzer is not lining a lot of length, and he had to pitch yesterday. That's a little bit less than savory for this team, as you've had Braden Fisher be relatively okay in the bullpen, but Brandon Little, boy, is that guy come up very, very little for this team, to say the least. You've got some shakiness with Jeff Hoffman just not being able to find it with his team. Mason Flaherty, north of 5 ERA. Yimi Garcia is on the injury list, and for the Blue Jays, their lineup is really dealing with injuries. Addison Barger, George Springer, Alejandro Kirk, don't call his name. All these guys have been on the injury list. Dalton Varsho is right now dated today as well. Ernie Clement has been able to move the line. He and Vlad Guerrero Jr. both have been able to hit above a 275. And for Guerrero, just one home run entering into yesterday, but he's been able to give you well above a 400 on base. Kazuma Okamoto has had a little bit of a tough time adjusting to Major League Baseball. He hasn't really given you too much, but AC Sanchez, Andrés Giménez, these guys hanging above a 260 with Sanchez give you a little bit of power, but I mean, it's still been a little bit of a ragtag lineup thus far, and they face off against an Arizona Diamondbacks team that was fourth in the big leagues in terms of runs per game last season. Now they themselves have been behind the eight ball a little bit due to injury, but I will say, having Carlos Santana injured is actually not a bad thing for the team because Eliarmo Vargas is hitting ball above a 3-0. Gabriel Moreno's been out, but Adrian Del Castro, he's been able to give you a bit of something. Nolan Arenado got off to a rough start to the season, but he's starting to pick it up. Lourdes Gurriel just came off the injured list. You've been able to have Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte. If you have like year in and year out, give you 25-plus bombs over 350 on base. Geraldo Perdomo off to a rough start to the season, but he traditionally hits above a 260. Have to have trepidation with the bullpen. Kevin Ginkel last year, well north of a 5 ERA. Paul Sewald just looks washed at this point, but Taylor Clark, Jonathan Wiseka, I thought that those were relatively nice pickups for them as well. And then Ryan Nelson had a rough first few starts starts of the season, but keep in mind, one of those starts was against the LA Dodgers, just the best team that money can buy. And for Nelson last year, he was posting up an ERA that was right around about 3.39. He was getting about one home run, 2.4 walks allowed per nine innings, up to 1.8 home runs allowed per nine innings. But after that start against the LA Dodgers, things have calmed down for him a little bit. Strikeout stuff is up. He's up to about 8.5 strikeouts per nine innings. That's a career best for him. So with the Diamondbacks, out of minus 1 or 2 or better, we'll be looking for even money, which I think I get when it's all said and done. Going to be looking at them on the money line. And then I did set a total of an 8.3. So here on the 8, I do like the over as well. And that'll wrap things up for the Sunday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Tanner Kern, who does such great work at DraftKings, for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GUnit_E1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like here on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm with you guys every single day, giving you picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.